you gotta like sorry, I got nothing.
All right, let's start again. Fresh. This is starting fresh.
No show notes this week, buddy.
All right. That's how we roll.
We're going a cappella.
Great. What's that mean?
It means with cappella. No. Without cappella. Without no extra cappella.
Okay, I'm ready.
Without no a cappella in church, in the chapel. A cappella, no show notes. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to episode 172 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
Are you sure? That took a bit of a delay there.
I was just adjusting my position for optimum podcasting performance.
Oh, right. Podcasting posture. We went over that at podcasting school.
Yeah. Be in a position to project.
Right? That's what they teach you on the way in the door when you eat your free muffin.
Yeah. Right.
My tip for you, if you do go to podcasting school, get there early because all the good muffins go fast.
Right. Everybody comes hungry.
Yep. And you end up getting some sort of a, I don't know, like a bacon cheese one that no one really wants.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah. There you go. Man, got the tips right out of the gate this week.
Yeah. Heavy what? Tip show. This is the heavy tip show.
No, it's not. No. No, it's not.
Okay.
This is the, oh boy, we better do a show because it's Easter.
Let's follow up last week's show with another amazing show.
How can we not?
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam?
It's just another day in paradise, buddy. Not a whole lot. A busy week for me, too. So didn't realize till the last minute we were going to be podcasting tonight. So drank a bunch of coffee and here I am.
Because it's, you know, the early evening for you.
It's the early evening after a very long week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Did you shoot anything interesting? No, do we start with that? Are we even there yet?
Sure. Yeah, we're there.
Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that.
It's a trick question, Adam. We're not there yet. Amazon. Okay, after a long week and you're going to buy your coffee, if you buy on Amazon. I'm not saying you have to buy it on Amazon. But if you do, you could buy it through our site. Click through our site and it helps us out.
It's a great idea. My wife's making a ton of noise back there. I don't know if you can hear her.
No, yeah, I know. We can hear that.
She's banging the pots and pans in the other room.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those
buy your pots and pans on Amazon.
Buy your pots and pans on Amazon.
Yeah.
What else is going on besides the long week? Did we do anything photographically?
I did. I have something to talk about.
Oh, that's great because I do not.
Okay. Well,
what are we talking? Is this something interesting or something that you shot recently?
Both.
Okay, let's jump right into it then. Okay. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
Yes.
Okay, go.
So I talked about going to one of my favorite beaches last weekend right on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day after we recorded our last episode, we went to another beach, a different beach. We had beautiful weather, so we went out to another beach, Centennial Beach, which is sort of near Tawasin, also near the Vancouver Ferry Terminal, and that's Tawasin, BC. So there's a nice big beach down there that we visited. It's kind of a family-friendly beach and a big playground. And anyways, I anticipated doing my challenge photo down there because I had something particular in mind.
Uh-huh.
But that's not where the interesting part is. We ran into a friend. This is a friend more of Lisa's, a teacher friend. And I had done maternity photos for her a couple months back. We ran into them. She's since had the baby. Anyways, long story short, I needed to borrow a chair, which we did not bring, to do my challenge photo.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a bunch of chairs. And so I said, hey, let's you do me a favor and I'll do you a favor. You lend me your chair to take out in the water for a few minutes. I will take a family photo of you with your newborn child. Everybody wins. Okay.
Yes.
So they said, oh, that would be great. Fantastic. And all I had with me was, my camera, a single flash in my bag, a 430 EX, two. And I think I had, it was my crop sensor camera, and I think I had the 30 millimeter lens. I think that's what I had with me. I can't remember 100%. But anyway, so they said, great, let's do a family photo. And, actually it was the crop sensor camera and the 50 millimeter. It's all coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I positioned the monologue. There was, their family, which is, I think, a three-year-old, the newborn baby, husband and wife. And then they had two friends that they wanted to be in the photo too, her best friend. So obviously an adult, and then best friend's daughter, which I'm going to say was about 7 or 8 or 9, somewhere in that range. So I had them all positioned on the log, set it all up, have Sarah with me, and she's holding a flash. It's the middle of the day and it's crazy sunny. It's completely clear. They're wearing hats, so there's shadows completely covering their face, and it's a beautiful blue sky, which I would like to keep. So I basically have Sarah standing at close range, throw it on ETTL, and I end up using I have a filter, that ND filter, or the polarized, the graduated ND filter, that I can sort mm-hmm. of dial in what I want. So I use that, dial in just a little bit where I want the sky to be, and just basically pray that the ETTL is going to do what I need, because we've got about 13 seconds to make this photo happen, because it's a baby who's crying and like they just want one and done. So I said, all right, I'll see what I can do. So one and done, and super happy with the picture. And I think they were too. Everybody's looking, exposure's good, composition was good. One and done, buddy, with that group.
Nice.
So I couldn't believe it, because I mean, I would have probably taken at least, I don't know, 10 to be safe. Mm-hmm. But, in dealing with a newborn baby and a 3-year-old or 2.5-year-old, and it was just, and they were just like, yeah, you got it. Hopefully it's good. They, you know, they weren't paying for this. So I think they were just happy that they got something with the whole family. I imagine it's probably their first real family posed photo. So yeah, I was happy, and I sent it off to them. So there you go.
Nice. One and done. That's nice if you can make that happen.
ETTL, the key to that deal.
That's the key, and having a 6-year-old as your voice-activated light stand.
Yes, and also having the 6-year-old, because I think she was a lot more interesting to look at for the 3-year-old and the baby. So that was kind of the, hey, look at Sarah, and boom, one shot done.
Okay. So the takeaway here is child labor.
Yes. The other takeaway is, if you want the blue sky and it's the middle of the day, you're going to need flash in order to get a decent exposure on the faces.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Flash or some serious bounce. And I guess you're not going to be carrying that around with you at the beach. So
yeah,
flash definitely comes in handy in that case. Otherwise you're out of luck.
And for a group of 6 across a log, I was amazed that the flash was able to essentially cover that full range. So in midday sun, one flash, I would have normally, I mean, again, set this kind of photo up with 2 flashes to make sure I got coverage, but mm-hmm. I didn't have the option, because I only had one flash with me. But yeah, good coverage across 6 people. So I was pleased with that. And I did have a quarter CTO gel in my bag. So I did throw that on just to give everybody a nice tan.
That's nice. That's a hot move.
So I didn't ask them permission to share the photo, so I'm not going to post it unless I manage to get that permission.
Right.
But anyway, so I can assure you it was a fantastic, greatest family photo ever taken.
It's probably going to be in the Louvre.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. Anything
that's did I?
Yeah, I was going to say, anything interesting on your end?
No.
Oh, but the,
I charged my batteries, though.
Oh, okay.
Had all my batteries. I charged all of my camera batteries. So that was what I did photographically this week.
Great. Yeah. I was going to say another takeaway tip for the listeners, and I think, you know, maybe 75 or 80 episodes might have talked about this, maybe last summer, is with hats. People with hats, midday sun, it's not the best for photos, but if they're, you're not going to tell them to take it off in this scenario, again, the flash at the right angle is key in order to sort of fill in some of those really harsh, dark shadows.
Absolutely. And if they're not going to take it off, go ahead and ask them to tilt it back a little bit.
Yes. Just a, and that's all it takes is just a little bit. And again, I think that's where I was lucky in that Sarah was, like they were sitting on a log and Sarah's holding it. And it was just lucky that she was just the right height to have that flash come in. Because if that flash was coming in from any higher, it would have just cast even more of a shadow on their face.
Well, this is what I dealt with when I was shooting the 100-and-something baseball portrait photos. Is most of the teams are wearing hats. The softball teams don't wear hats, but the most of the guys are wearing hats.
Yeah.
And thus, if you light it from too high an angle, you're going to get that big shadow cast across the face. So I kind of have to light it a little flatter than I normally would just to make up for that.
Right, right.
And bring that light down underneath. So, gotcha.
Well, there you go.
You know what I did do this week? What's to get that? Back to me that I think is interesting. Got the t-shirts designed.
Yes, I saw them and I love it.
Yep, so it's actually our new logo. If you go ahead and look on the Two Hosers Facebook page, and I'll post it everywhere else too when I get a chance, it's going to be our new logo too, as well for online.
It's the same. Saw that as well. I saw the updates.
You see everything, man.
Yeah. I've got my tentacles in a lot of different places.
Eagle eyes. It's so that's we're going to go ahead on that, and we've had quite a few requests for t-shirts, and basically it's our retirement plan is selling t-shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
Sign me up for one.
Yeah. Well, no question.
Yeah.
But I've already picked out the pool that I'm going to buy with my t-shirt revenue.
Great.
Yeah. It's very small. It's inflatable. It's definitely inflatable, but it's the good inflatable one.
Right.
Yeah, so that's we're still figuring out exactly how that's going to go in terms of the storefront and all that stuff, the online storefront. So don't look for the shirts this week.
Right, give us a ballpark idea. What are we talking?
I'm going to guess like 6 to 8 weeks or something like that.
6 to 8 weeks when we'll be available to make an order.
That seems to be the timeline right now.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be really disappointed if it's not ready by then. So you just really get on that.
Yeah, no, I'll make yours. Don't worry. I'll have yours up and running.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. Sleeveless.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to start doing some curls now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there you go. This week's challenge.
Yes.
It's going to be this week's topic as well. We're going to talk about how we did it and how to do it and how to do it better.
Yes. Better.
Better or what you would do. So let's talk about this week's challenge. What was this week's challenge?
It was a long exposure portrait.
Wow, do I wish you hadn't suggested that. That doesn't sound like English to me.
Okay, all right.
I was really unthrilled with this week's topic.
Why? And why was that?
I did not have... You know how we said, okay, we'll do like a 10-second exposure?
Yes.
I didn't have 10 seconds to make a picture. I couldn't spare that much time.
Okay.
So I was really wishing that you had said, hey, why don't you take a picture of your shoes by the front door? That would have been a better challenge for me.
Right.
However, so I did it.
Let's do yours since you're already talking about
it. Yes, all right. So here's mine, shot last night. And I wanted to do nighttime just to really kind of like use the long exposure to its fullest.
Okay.
So I went out last night to a very popular spot in Tubingen, this bridge called the Neckarbrücke, which overlooks the Neckar River. And in the background is a very famous Tubingen landmark called the Holderlin Turm, which is a tower where a poet lived and whatnot. But it's a very, very famous landmark here in Tubingen. So I wanted to get that in the background. And being, Good Friday Eve last night, I figured there'd be a lot of people in town, and so I could be able to use them for my movement I wanted to portray.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. So I went across the street, long lens. This is probably at around 135 in order to compress the background, bring that tower in close. 'Cause it doesn't really sit there. It's actually down the river a little bit.
Okay.
And so I brought that across and had them hold very still. You might recognize Mike from the video we did, video series.
Okay, I didn't, but now thank you for letting me know.
Right, and he was also in the pro portrait made easy photo.
Okay.
A few weeks ago or a few months ago, whatever that was. Yeah, so he brought his girlfriend out and sat nice and still while I fired off this. Now, the one you're looking at... Okay, go ahead. You critique the photo first.
I don't like it.
Neither do I. I don't like it either. I told you, I'm mad at you.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, you can see elements that make it long exposure, but it just doesn't work. I don't know if it needed to be longer exposure or maybe more cars or more people or yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say what would have made it work, but it doesn't work.
I'm framing this one next to my kid in the forest. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm taking that one out of the frame, putting this one in. That's how much I love it.
Right.
No, this is terrible. I hate this photo. And then, there's nothing, I can say nothing good about it. I mean, it's a good start, okay? That's...
I agree. There's something maybe there to be had, it didn't get achieved.
Now, this was a 1 second exposure.
Okay.
No, 2 seconds. 2 second exposure, that's, I believe. It could be two or one. Are we going to split hairs on bad?
No. No, but what, did you experiment with longer to see what would happen?
No, one and done, buddy.
Was it really?
No, I shot, first one was like 15 seconds.
And then what happened?
It wasn't, it also wasn't good.
But what did it change? Like, did you lose the people that were walking back and forth in front?
Yes. And the bus that pulled in front and stopped and then pulled away, I even lost part of that.
Right.
Yeah. And so, this just wasn't, it just, you know. And on top of that, I wanted to do this with natural, with available, not natural light, but available light. I was thinking about, you know, popping a flash in there.
Yeah.
To light them. But no, I thought, I'll just use the street lights. Well, the street lights are extremely yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the lights on the tower are extremely not yellow. There's some sort of a weird bluey kind of look onto a yellow surface, so you get that weird kind of, I don't even know if that's greenish, I can't tell. So the colors are awful. So it's just a big bag of hot mess.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at yours. Oh, okay. Yes, this is wonderful. I mean, you're lucky. You lucked out this week that it, compared to mine, this is as if Rembrandt was copying Picasso.
Yes.
However,
it's not good either.
No, it's not. Thank you for saying it, because I was going to sound like I was just being petty.
No, it's not good. It's not good. I went to the beach with my wife with something very specific in mind, but the conditions did not meet what I needed. Like, we went to the beach, but the tide was like about a kilometer out.
Mm-hmm.
So all that was left was a couple of these just little, I don't know what, tidal pools, right? Like, just water's only about a foot deep, and there's kids running around and splashing in them. And so I said, all right, well, I guess this is what I'm working with. But there was a lot of, I guess, little ripples in that water from lots of people playing around in there. And so, again, I kind of thought, okay, well, I guess this is because we weren't going to walk a kilometer out to where the real water was moving.
That seems like a lot of effort.
Yeah. So, well, and also our kids weren't coming with us, so we were staying close to our children. So I said, all right, well, this is what we're going to do. And so this is actually a 20-second exposure.
Uh-huh.
And it actually popped a flash in there too, just to sort of, you know, try, see what was going to happen. So the sun's directly overhead, which is why I positioned her this way. We tried some different poses, but there's no way she could hold it still enough in the water. So this is why we had to borrow the chair from the friends, so that she could hold still for 20 seconds. And we tried a 6 second exposure, and you get a totally different effect in the water. So I liked the looking like it was completely frozen. So it almost made it look like it was ice, and she was frozen with her feet in her chair in the ice with no movement at all with the long exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And I So basically what I would do is I put the camera on a 10-second timer, and then I'd walk right in beside her with the flash on full power just to pop a little bit of extra fill on the right side of her face to lessen those dark shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. And so here's a 20-second exposure with an ND filter in the middle of the day. And then I cranked the blues just to give it some kind of interesting effect, because I knew the picture was horrible. So I thought, okay, well, I'll mess with the blues in the picture and really kind of make it look.
Let me just polish this turd.
Yeah, basically. So yeah. So there you have it. I think again, in the right with the right water conditions, there's a lot of potential. Just it didn't cooperate with me this day.
I'm fully on board with that. I can see that it does look like ice, which is kind of weird and good and cool. Like, it's a good effect. It's one of those things that I think next time out, if you do this again, which I will do mine again, not the exact same one, but the long exposure, I mean, I will take what I learned and apply it.
Myself as well.
Yeah. And so I think this will be a good effect. This might be better at, you know, Kitts Beach or something.
Or even like Gary Point.
Yeah, I guess. Is there enough waves, enough movement in the water?
Yep, there is. Again, it depends on the day, and certainly when boats go by, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about this week's topic, is how to do these. And what better people to learn from than us two, evidently. You know?
right. We're going to do better. But again, it's let's all learn together.
Well, how do you do this? Now, as soon as you said the long exposure portrait, I thought, okay, well, I assumed you were going to do the ones that you did in your living room with the iPad and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And again, after I took this, I kind of intended to until I found out we were podcasting tonight. And then I thought, no, I'm going with what I've got, because it's just my wife's in PJs and probably not going to pose for me for a portrait.
That's, have you hit the wall? Yeah, I hit the wall a while ago where my wife no longer wants to participate.
Right. My wife will, in given scenarios, like, hey, we're already at the beach, you have 13 minutes to make all of this happen, or I mm-hmm. should say 3.5 minutes. 13 minutes is way too long.
Yeah.
3.5 minutes to make this happen, so you get it all set up and then just bring me in at the last second. So right. that's kind of where she's at as far as participation.
Meanwhile, 100 years ago, no one could believe they could get their picture taken once in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, what else? Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in third overtime over here.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I anticipated you doing was the inside one. But however,
which is really cool. And I don't know, you know, we described it a little bit in a previous podcast, but it is super cool that, you know, with most cameras these days, if you have a flash, you know, and you can set it off camera and it'll sync with, you know, a 7, 10, 20 second exposure. And most of these flashes will have, you know, the first curtain sync and literally, you know, pop at the starting of that exposure and then remain open for the rest of the time. And then you can add whatever cool effects, because really you're only lighting your subject in this fashion with that first burst of light, right?
You know what the best part is you don't even need... If you don't have any way to sync it off camera, you don't have to.
It can pop at any point.
You can pop it with your thumb. That's the beauty part is okay. During this 20-second exposure, you can just go walk over and make it happen, which you did in this, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So you just do that manually and pop it whenever you want, multiple times, that kind of stuff. It's you have a lot to work with there.
Yeah. And the thing I did realize when you do this is that it's not as important when you're lighting your person with flash that they stay perfectly still.
Correct.
But when you're doing it with ambient light, then it's super important that they stay perfectly still because you lose all the sharpness in your image.
Well, first things first, you use a tripod, correct?
Yes.
As did I.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's key, because there's no way, you know, like I took a... When I first walked up and we got set up, I took a test exposure right next to my subjects. Like I was on the same side of the street because I wanted to, you know, give them instruction and line them up and all that without yelling across the bridge. And so I just took a quick handheld test exposure, which was at 15 seconds with my, you know, 70 to 200 lens. You can imagine it's probably a little bit soft around the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a complete mess. It looks crazy. But it was what I wanted. I wanted to get an exposure, sample, and it worked out quite well for that.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the pain of doing it with the ND filter in the middle of the day with ambient light is that once my wife would pose for a shot, so I'd have to basically, because there's so much light when you're opening the camera up or the lens up for 20 seconds in the middle of the day, that you're using, I was basically using my variable ND filter on like max, right? Uh-huh. Which is cutting out something like 9 stops of light, like just a ridiculous amount of light you're cutting down. So it basically looks black through the viewfinder. So you have to keep opening it, like adjusting the ND filter to get focus, and then you have to dial it back to where you had it again. And again, it's not perfect, that adjustment. Like there's lines on the ND filter, but again, it's still not perfect. Mm-hmm. And the problem with doing that is, my wife sets up for a shot, and we try one pose, and then we try another pose, and we have to redo it again in terms of going back and forth and getting focus, and then going. And again, I found that part pretty painful. So just something to consider doing a middle of the day shot like this. It's pretty tedious each time going back through the ND filter, right, and doing the manual focus over and over again.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
No, don't do it.
Well, that's what I was going to do. It's funny you say that. So long exposure portraits, what's the purpose of long exposure portraits? First of all, what does it mean? What is long exposure? Where's the cutoff?
I think probably anything that you can't handheld becomes long exposure.
Right. Typically the shot that you're taking here, especially in the sun, if you don't have an ND filter, you're probably going to look at like 1/1000th of a second.
Right.
That's not very long at all.
No.
And so in order to do a long exposure, you're going to want to come in, let's say at half a second. It could be less than that, it could be more, but something around half a second is going to give you a much different effect in certain situations than a regular exposure. Now, what is the purpose of a long exposure portrait?
I guess it depends, but maybe to convey movement, or like I say, to change the effect of something moving and slow it down, or make something look like it's moving fast. There's lots of different reasons you might do it.
I believe it all comes down to movement, though.
Yes.
Is for me, in my mind, it's a situation of you really want to capitalize on movement.
Right. In one way or another. Yeah.
In one way or another. And for a long exposure portrait, for me, I know I want to capitalize on the difference, on the contrast in movement. Okay. So for what I set out to do is, originally what I had in mind was we'd be in a crowded area. I would have my subjects standing still and a bunch of subjects walking around them, and slow them down slow enough, just enough so that they would get a decent motion blur and be obscured, and yet my subjects would be frozen in the middle of the photo.
Right, yeah.
That's what I was going for. Not what I achieved. However, I mean, so I learned that, first of all, don't take it where I took it. That's not going to help. That didn't help at all because of the nature of the movement. But we'll get into that. So what's the first step?
Well, I was just going to say, theoretically, in that example you just gave, what I envision is going in, popping the flash on those people, like on the subjects that you're really trying to focus on, and then having everybody else walk around there that is not going to happen. And I just think it would stand out. Now, of course, you'd have to get the exposure right in terms of how long to make for that proper amount of movement. And I guess it depends on ultimately how many people you have, or if literally you have three people that are just walking back and forth, it might be a little more challenging.
Right, right. So, as I mentioned, I wanted to do without flash, just right, to get them to hold really still, which is difficult. So generally, that's the effect I was going for. Step one, get yourself a tool. We will tell you how to do this, or how I will do it next time. How does that sound?
Great.
step one, get yourself a tripod, as you mentioned. You're not going to hold this still.
Correct.
After that, let's get your, you know, get your setup and get your setup done. Where do you want to take this? Well, I would, next time I will take this in a much more crowded area. I also thought that I would need a lot more dark than I needed. Turns out I didn't. I got quite a decent exposure at ISO 200, F4, and I would still get a 2-second exposure, and I kind of was surprised by that.
Okay.
You know, so I thought it would, I probably could have done it in the late evening and still got a great effect. Or, wait a second, instead, I could have got a great effect. So that's without an ND filter. I didn't have an ND filter with me. Although I thought I would need one. I thought, oh man, I can't believe I didn't bring the right step-up ring to use my ND filter, because I'm going to be out of luck here. But no, I had plenty of room to work.
Okay.
So next time, I will find a much crowded place. And the idea being that most times, in the summer it's different, but most times you'll probably find more people in the early evening than you would at nighttime.
Right.
And so that's the situation. So I would go into the square next time, instead of having it on the bridge. I would go into the square simply for the fact that, A, there's more people, and B, there's going to be foreground, background, middle ground. And that was a big thing for me, because if you look at the picture now, you have the foreground and the background, but there's kind of nothing in between.
Right.
Or it's sort of the middle ground, and yeah, the subject, there's very little depth to it. And if you have like a crowded area, you're going to have people moving in all directions. With this picture, I only have people moving right to left and left to right. The one I'm showing, you can see the ghosting of the people walking.
Yeah.
And if you look close, you can probably see a bike light zipping by, because a guy went by on a bike at the exact same time. But it's really, really minimizing the effect. And so if I had people moving in all directions, like to and like away from the camera, toward the camera as well, that's going to really amplify the effect of movement. And having them all move around and be somewhat slightly blurry, and your subjects frozen still, they're really going to pop out. So that's what I would do. Now
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, it's going
to
be gorgeous.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
So I would go and get framed and get set up, and then the next thing I would do is get exposure. Now, if people are just walking around, you'd be surprised at how fast of a shutter speed you can get away with and still get this effect. I was shocked. I thought it was going to be like, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought like going to be like 10 seconds and then you're going to see some real blur, but that's only in a real crowd. Like if you're shooting this, you know, on Fifth Avenue or something, or in Times Square, then a 15-second exposure is going to be really cool. If you're in rural, I can't even say the word, Germany, the effect is not going to pop quite as much at 15 seconds.
So yeah, what I found with shooting for 20 seconds and people moving around in the background is that when the shutter's open for that long, that the people almost disappear. So there is a sweet spot where it's just enough time, and I noticed a much more dramatic effect at 6 seconds, because I took a few at 6 seconds in terms of the people and the movement, than at 20 seconds, everybody's gone.
Which is actually can be a pretty good effect, pretty useful effect.
Absolutely, if you want to get rid of all the background people.
Yeah. If let's say you're walking down the, I don't know, pick somewhere famous, by the Eiffel Tower, and you want your picture with nobody in it, yeah, if you do a 30-second exposure, if you can hold still, those people might be gone.
Yeah.
Assuming they're moving.
And you might need longer than that, but they certainly nearly disappeared, the people I had in my background, at 20 seconds, yeah.
Assuming they're moving, you're all good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so to get this shot of when you want to keep the people, I would basically set the exposure, dial everything in, and dial in the aperture last. I'd probably start at ISO 100, dial in the shutter speed I'd want to give me the desired effect.
Right.
Which, like I said, might be half a second. And then set the corresponding aperture based on that.
Okay. Now,
depending on what time of the day I'm shooting, I would bring an ND filter. And I only have an ND6 filter. I don't have the variable like Adam does. I'll just say it to you because you're on the show like you do.
Right. Yes, I have one. I have the variable one.
Which in this case, wow, is that handy.
Like it is very cool. It's basically two circular polarizers that's superimposed on one another. That's mm-hmm. how it works. Yeah.
And so, especially in this case, that's going to be really awesome. And that's what I would have on there and dial that in if I couldn't get enough aperture. But generally, I probably could. Like in the evening, I'm going to go ahead and get enough. I'm going to be able to stop down far enough to get a half a second exposure in that situation. In the sun, I'm not going to. Because if you think about it, let's say you go with the Sunny 16 rule, which means that let's say your camera, your lens goes all the way down to f22. So now you're going to get basically 1/50th of a second at f22 at ISO 100. That's not slow enough.
Right.
So now in the actual sun, you're going to need an ND filter. And that's where the ND, now you have an ND9 comes in. Start doing the math on that. Do you want to do the math?
No. You can leave it open 12, a long 6, time.
3, 1, oh yeah, yeah, half, quarter, 8. Oh, yeah, you can get right down, probably close to half a second with the ND9 in broad daylight, in broad sunlight.
Right.
Now that's a situation of that's a great effect. Although even further, you must have gotten even further. I must be doing bad math.
I was 20 seconds, so.
You're 20 seconds.
Yeah.
On an ND9. And that was full sun.
Full sun, yeah.
At an F
I can't remember. I'm going to say 20, 18.
Okay, so it was stopped all the way down. So, yeah, okay, so I'll have to check my math on that one. But so to get all the way down to 20 seconds, now you're going to get a great effect. Now, that's a situation of if we remember back to, I don't know, 100 episodes ago or more, I bet, when Don shot his long exposure. It was just a long exposure shot. It wasn't a portrait. But didn't he do like a water park or something?
Yeah, was that a long exposure?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a fountain or something involved, and the water was moving all around.
Sure.
And yeah. When I first saw your photo, that's immediately what I had in mind was, wow, that's going to be great at the water park. You could do something like that with your kids. If your kids would sit still, which they won't, you could do something at the water park.
Sure.
So that's something that's a different effect that you're going to go for. You'd go for a much longer. You'd probably go for 20 seconds to really blur all the water and make it look really, you know, cool looking. So that's how I would do mine, though. I'm going to redo mine. I'm going to do mine in a crowd of people. Won't be I don't think it'll be this week, but I will redo it, and that's the effect I'm going to go for.
Okay.
That's my kid coughing.
Okay.
Yes, sweetie. That's the mama of Sarah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her name, actually. Sarah's mom.
Great.
There you go. So there you go. So now, what would you do differently for yours, besides different venue?
Well, I want more movement, so I didn't have enough movement in the water. So, again, I went with this completely glass look, but I would much prefer to have a whole bunch of movement in the water around her. I think it would create a totally different effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I would have done is I looked at it and I would really have liked to get rid of the horizon and just have it been all water behind her. I find the horizon line in my photo very distracting, and mm-hmm. I would have probably tried to shoot at a different angle. I wouldn't have shot it this time of day. Okay. For obvious reasons, I would have liked to shoot with the sun a little bit lower so I could have changed her head angle So this was about the only position we could keep her still enough for 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. But so I would definitely have tried to go out at a different time of day and maybe include only the water in as the background. I just want that effect.
So when you say more movement, like what do you mean, movement of the water, or do you want people? Yeah.
So I want to see what different effects I can create with the water, because I think the interesting background, the whole point to doing it with water would be the interesting background effects that you could create from the water. So I would, again, I now realizing how much range I have with that polarizer. I mean, I could try, 4 seconds, 6 seconds, 10 seconds. I could try a range of apertures as well, mm-hmm. just to see, what effects with the difference in depth of field. And again, only including water as background. So I'd have right. to obviously adjust my angles. But I think that's what I would try differently. I think there is a good photo in there. Again, just a matter of sort of sussing it out.
Absolutely. I think we got some takeaways here.
Sure.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I want to see someone else do a really well done photo, and then we can learn from them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what we did. We purposely did this badly so we could have something to talk about.
Right.
Genius. Those guys are geniuses.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Great. Photo challenge for next week.
I think it's got to be Easter themed, doesn't it?
Oh, does it?
Well, I don't know. Aren't you going to get your kid in a sort of giant bunny outfit or something?
It's Easter this week. Oh, I forgot. Just kidding. I didn't forget. I didn't forget, sweetie.
Hunt.
Easter egg hunt? That's what we should do?
I don't know. No. I'm trying. We made it too hard this week. We need an easier one.
Yeah, I'm going to open it right up and just go happiness. All right, it's happiness this week.
Happiness.
Your kids will be happy.
Great. Happiness.
And so my kids will be happy. So there we go. And then also, or a picture of your shoe by the front door.
Great.
Either one. You choose this week.
Okay.
Maybe you're happy with your shoes.
I'm going to go with happiness.
I'm going with happiness as well. So there you go.
All right.
Anything else, Adam?
No,
I'm done nothing. Too.
I got zip.
That's it, Adam. Oh, websites. We have websites.
Yes.
Where can people find? Your wife's blogging again.
Yeah, although she didn't. I don't think she's done any since last trip to Kitts Beach. So probably nothing new in the last week. But SchwartzChronicles.com, if that's a teaser for you.
That'll do it.
And Two Hosers Facebook. I'm always present there. So if people like to ask questions, that's another forum. You can mm-hmm. you can ask us a question on the Two Hosers site as well, not just the Two Hosers email. They're both available though.
Absolutely. And you can find that at my stuff at alanatridge.com, but the Two Hosers stuff at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links for everything you want to know. And that's it. Until Great. Next week, get out there and make better photos.